Welcome to Life Changers, a program designed to give solutions to the problems we experience on a daily basis. Your host is Dr. K.V. Abraham, clinical psychologist and a professor at St. Thomas University in Miami, Florida. My name is Christina Varghese, and I welcome you to our program. Let's begin with Life Changers.
Here we go.
Hello, my friend. How are you? Welcome to Life Changers again. We are starting a new series in the area of counseling from a biblical perspective as well as a psychological perspective. And last week, I talked about suicide and things that we can do to stop suicide and also some of the warning signals. Now, today I want to focus on one word that is so important and that is repeatedly said, used in the Bible. The word is love. And how, by using this word, or by an act of love, we can also stop people from committing suicide. One of the memories that I have from my teenage years is that of an incident that took place at Bengaliput, India, where I was a student at South India Biblical Seminary. SIBS had a small clinic in its campus which took care of the needs of the students as well as the surrounding villages. On this particular day, I noticed something strange at the front entrance of the campus. I saw a group of people standing around, and something was there that was not visible to me. I ran to the site to find out what was going on. To my shock, a young woman was on the ground and a middle-aged man was next to her body, pleading with her to wake up. Her body was quiet with no breathing and no signs of life. No one knew at that point what happened to her. But as days passed, news came from the village that her husband used to abuse her so bad that she drank poison and died. Why did this young woman do what she did? Why did her husband treat her so bad? I asked these questions to myself. Her face, her posture, and her husband's relentless plea for help are very vivid in my memories. I don't have to tell you what this woman was lacking in her life that ultimately motivated her to end her life. She was lacking love. Perhaps she felt lack of love from both her husband and her in-laws. There are many women who find themselves in such a predicament, where they are constantly the target for abuse in the husband's household. Sometimes the reason is that her parents did not pay what they promised as dowry, or it was too little. There are too many such incidents like this taking place almost daily in our world. We have probably heard many definitions for love. But from a very practical point of view, let us see what love is. First of all, this abstract word love explains all what relationships are all about. The degree of attachment, closeness, and familiarity that we have towards one another can all be measured using the yardstick love. When a relationship becomes valueless, no love exists. The words like and love are very closely related. We use these words interchangeably to suit the situation. Instead of saying, "I love my boss," one might say, "I like my boss." As we further analyze love, we would find that love is subject to a number of conditions. It is subject to our moods, temperaments, and other feelings such as anger, happiness, resentment, etc. It is also subject to good terms with people and is often expressed in a reciprocal way. It won't be even uncommon to share love with only people who express the same viewpoint. Another characteristic about love is that it waxes and wanes. In other words, it comes and goes depending on circumstances. In the Bible, love is treated as a command. Jesus Christ said, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another. John 15 and verse 12. He didn't say love God and your neighbor when you feel like it. If we show love only when we feel like it, we are likely not to love anyone on a consistent basis. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, we read, Paul the Apostle said, husbands, love your wives. Again, it is written more as a command or the right thing to do, not because we feel like it, but because we are supposed to. If there is one thing that all of us need, it is love. We want to be loved by our family, our friends, and by our community. It doesn't matter how old we are, we want to be loved. According to child psychologists, a child who lacks love has a greater chance of developing emotional problems. Children who grow up with babysitters and daycare centers without the nature and affection of natural parents run the risk of developing emotional problems. I have worked for many years with emotionally disturbed children, and if I would point out one thing that is common to all of these children, it is that their families are very dysfunctional in nature. Most of these children come from single-parent homes or homes where they lack love in a stable and consistent fashion. Tim Lay, in his book Six Keys to Happy Marriage, states, one of the most common causes of emotionally disturbed people today is the need of experiencing security, building love between their parents, children. All too often see and feel the trauma of hostility, hatred, and animosity between the two people they love most, their mother and father. From this hostility, children develop emotional insecurity and fears that follow them all through life. Let me read that again. One of the most common causes of emotionally disturbed people today is instead of experiencing security-building love between their parents, children all too often see and feel the trauma of hostility, hatred, and animosity between the two people they love most, their mother and father. From this hostility, children develop emotional insecurity and fears that follow them all through life. As we grow older, the need for love only intensifies. As children, if we expected love from parents and siblings, as adolescents and young adults, we expect it from peers. Then it reaches a climax when it ends in a marital relationship. And as we go through the years of marital life, we expect love from our spouse and our children. When we enter the senior years of our lives, our need for love only increases. Once a lady who is in her 70s shared with me that she is not wanted anymore. Another senior person shared with me that he feels unnoticed by people. One similarity about these two individuals is that both are very active people who spend a lot of time in Christian work. If these two individuals felt that they were not wanted or unnoticed, imagine what an average retiree who spends a lot of time by himself or herself would feel. For them, friendship and companionship are only memories of a blissful past. Unfortunately, as we move away in life from school friends and workforce, we run into a world of isolation. Now the question is, how can we be both recipients and providers of love? First, we should find our love source. In C.S. Lewis' words, if you want to get warm, you must stand near the fire. If you want to be wet, you must get into the water. If you want joy, power, peace, eternal life, you must get close to or even into the thing that has them. According to the Bible, God is love. And as we turn away from our wicked way of living and turn to God, we will start absorbing His qualities, which we can share with other people. The hardest part with most people is that they are unwilling to change their behaviors. They prefer to remain selfish, angry, and hateful, and miserable. If only they allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in their lives, they can become very happy. The second thing is a true understanding of the emotional need of each other. A young actress who recently got divorced stated in a television interview that she wants to be understood by people. We all want to be understood, don't we? A genuine understanding of the emotional needs of every member in the family will generate an atmosphere of love in the family. Such understanding of the needs of people in the community will create love and bonding in the community. A true awareness and respect for other nationalities and other cultures will decrease interracial and international conflicts. One major reason for our conflicts is stereotype thinking. We tend to attribute negative characteristics to other people who are different in the color of their skin, language, religion, culture, and so forth. Forgetting such differences, we should be sensitive to the basic emotional needs of each individual. It doesn't matter what race we belong to, what caste we belong to, what religion we belong to, all of us have the same basic needs. No anthropological study has yet discovered a new feeling or a new emotion based on one's culture. In distress and pain, all children cry the same way, whether the child is raised in the civilized world or in the uncivilized world. All of us have the same emotions and feelings. Thirdly, we need to overcome self-centeredness. Self-centeredness is nothing but selfishness and living in the me world. A person who is self-centered would never be willing to share what he has and would always want everything from others. Finally, we need to overcome ethnocentrism. The word ethno means people. Ethnocentrism means the thinking that there is only one group that is perfect, the group I belong to. A person who is ethnocentric is extremely closed-minded, that he doesn't see any good in any other group. A major reason for many of our religious conflicts is this ethnocentric attitude. Where there is no love, people are unforgiving, bitter, resentful, jealous, proud, stubborn, untruthful, dishonest, disunited, rebellious, and are ungodly. The Lord Jesus said, "Love your God with all of your heart, spirit, and mind, and love your neighbor also as yourself." He condensed all the Ten Commandments into these two golden rules and one word, and that word is love. If you truly follow these rules, we would overcome self-centeredness and ethnocentrism. We would be both God-loving and people-loving. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 we read, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." And from verse 20, "If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also." Hope you will take a few moments and write to me. My address in India is Dr. K.V. Abraham, P.O. Box 25066, Bangalore, 560025, India. That address again is Dr. K.V. Abraham, P.O. Box 25066, Bangalore, 560025, India. When you write to me, please mention your prayer needs and counseling needs, and also request for my books. Now, during the month of May and June, I'll be in India to conduct seminars and conferences. If you are interested in attending any of these, please do mention that in your letter. My email address is kvabraham@aol.com. That again is kvabraham@aol.com. Well, thanks for listening, and I hope you'll continue listening and tune in again next week at the same time. This is Dr. K.V. Abraham saying goodbye. The recording engineer is Tom John. May God abundantly bless you.